Well, good morning. My name is Pastor John. I'm the pastor of outreach and discipleship here at St. Mark, and I also spend most of my time focusing on Holy Cross. In fact, today Pastor Mike is over there preaching. We're kind of flip-flopping today, and a lot of exciting things are happening over there. And it's been just, you know, last year, 2020, even though it's been a challenging year for our country and world, our church here at St. Mark and Holy Cross have been greatly blessed and seen growth in many ways. And it's amazing what happens when Christians work together to build up God's kingdom. And so a lot of exciting things are going on there, but also we'll be seeking too the direction from God and all of you as far as the future going forward, as far as a possible merger between the two churches. We're also looking at other opportunities too to serve at other churches and places and mission starts around the valley here. God is opening up a lot of exciting things, and it's fun to see what he's doing. And so thank you for your support. We encourage your prayers as we go forward. Let's pray. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word today. Lord Jesus, you show us the type of leadership today that's so important. A leadership style is so different than so often we see in the world around us. Help us to understand this day what it means to be servant leaders. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We're in the midst of a series focusing on leadership. And today we're going to be taking a look into how Jesus led, a particular section of scripture from Mark chapter 10. And one thing I want to make clear before we even start is that we are all leaders, whether we realize it or not. We may think, well, it's not my gift, not my strength. The reality is we can grow in our ability to lead. In fact, that's what discipleship is. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. And what that means is to make leaders, servant leaders. We're going to talk more about that today. But leadership is important. I want to give you an illustration, kind of more of a modern day situation which occurred not too long ago. I'm not sure if any of you watched the Super Bowl or heard about what happened. But a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady led a team to a Super Bowl championship, which seemed very unlikely. In fact, many years ago, Tom Brady, when he left Michigan, he was 199th draft pick. And that's way down the line. And obviously, when you're drafted that low, probably people didn't think he would amount to much. But he went to the New England Patriots, and there, when his opportunity arose for him to be quarterback, what happened? 6 Super Bowls during the time he was there, which is amazing. I'm a Minnesota Viking fan. My team's never won one. And so New England won 6 Super Bowls. At the age of 42, people thought, maybe he's going to retire. But what did he do? He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that hadn't been in the playoffs for a decade, a team that hadn't won a Super Bowl for 20 years. And it seemed very unlikely that they could possibly turn everything around in 1 year. But what happened? It got turned around. Not only did they make the playoffs, but they, in convincing manner, won the Super Bowl over the team that had won it the year before. And I view that as an amazing feat of leadership. It was interesting as they interviewed a lot of players for Tampa Bay after the game and hearing what they said about Tom Brady, that he brought confidence in the locker room, that he helped us to be the best we could be. You see, Tom Brady not only focused on being a great quarterback, but he also prided himself in being a great what? Leader. Leadership matters. And that was for a Super Bowl, just a worldly game that will be forgotten one day. What we are a part of in our lives as Christians has way more significance than that. Eternal significance. What we do in the name of Jesus Christ, it lasts forever. And we may think, I can't make a difference. We're going to learn today is we can make a huge difference. And we're going to learn the example of the disciples. But before we get into the text for today, I want to talk about 4 different leadership styles. And there's an insert in your bulletin if you want to follow along with that. And the first style, in fact, there's many forms of leadership, but I'm kind of breaking it down to 4 different groupings. The first one's called high control, high accountability. And what that means is that you have leaders who take control, but they expect a lot of those that serve them. But in this particular situation, what often happens is that the leaders want power for themselves. For example, when Jesus was walking on this planet, the Roman Empire was in control. That was a high control, high accountability style of government, where Caesar viewed himself as a god. He viewed himself to control everybody. He had high expectations for others as well, too. However, if people went against the system, there was extreme and severe punishment. They developed painful, humiliating ways of killing people. And probably one of the worst ever, if not the worst, was crucifixion, which is how they killed Jesus. And so they instilled a system of fear, and it limits people from truly being who God made them to be. And sometimes we see the same thing in the world today. I believe we see it in some of the communist countries. You see it in North Korea, maybe it's in China, in other countries like that. The next style of leadership is high control, low accountability. And here the leader has strong control, but he or she's not very good at knowing how to utilize others to be a part of the system or the team. And so pretty much the leader does all the work, and the rest of people kind of watch. And unfortunately, a lot of churches in our country sometimes are run this way, where the pastor may think, it's my job to do all the preaching, the teaching, calling on people, all the evangelism. They take on all the roles, they wear all the hats, and the people kind of watch, and the people kind of view the pastor as the one who does all those things. And those churches never grow very large, hardly ever past 100, because that's pretty much what one person can take care of. And sometimes you'll see businesses like this that never grow, maybe as a leader in control, but yet he doesn't do a very good job, or he or she is, as far as knowing how to bring the best out of the people around them. High control, low accountability. The third type is low control, low accountability. And this is where there might be leadership, but they're not providing leadership. They're pretty much letting people do whatever they want. And the same with the people are involved in the process or the system, and what you see is complete chaos. In fact, people might try to fit into the leadership vacuum and take control for a while, but typically that lasts for a while and someone else comes in and pushes them out of the way. It's almost like playing king of the mountain. Chaos, disorder, it doesn't work very well at all. Well, today I want to focus on the style of leadership that Jesus used. Low control, high accountability. He gave people the freedom to grow, to be the people that God had made them to be. And we're going to see how that works in our lesson for today from Mark chapter 10. And there's some questions that go along with each section. The first one, what do James and John show us an example of? And here's the text from Mark 10, 35 to 37. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Now Jesus had 12 disciples. Of those 12 disciples, he spent most of his time with three. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. And they were the ones, for example, who went up the Mount of Transfiguration. There's certain miracles they saw that others didn't. And now James and John, they come to Jesus. They're saying, "We want you to grant something for us. When you are in your glory in heaven, we want to sit on your right and left hand. We want those positions of power and authority. We want status. We want fame. We want glory." And so often that's what we see in the world around us today. And we're going to see in a bit how Jesus responds to this, but when it comes right down to it, a lot of people in the world are like this. And maybe sometimes we are too. We want status. We want recognition. We want people to notice us. And so often we want the attention to focus to ourselves. You see it all around the world. You see it on social media. You know, to be honest with you, I have a hard time understanding social media. I probably should use it for ministry purposes, but I don't really use it at all because I'm so turned off so often by how it's being used. And people trying to get attention themselves. People want to be social media influencers. And it's not so much about, you know, not leading people to God. For most of them, they want to lead people to follow themselves. Look at me. Look how great I have it. And we look at a society more and more of spectators, where people are watching others, when God wants to be who we are in Him. He wants us, you know, to serve and not to be focusing just on ourselves. That's a terrible way to exist. In fact, for a lot of these people, they're putting on a false facade as far as who they really are. We're now going to see how Jesus responds to James and John. The next section says this: Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared." You know, Jesus is showing us an example of leadership. He doesn't get ticked off at these guys. He doesn't get upset with them. But he asks some questions. One of the best ways to help people to grow is to ask questions. Because when you're asking questions, you're involving them in the process. And that's what Jesus did. That's that low control. But yet the accountability he expected was high as he trained them. And really, he's thinking, you know, James and John should have known better, because he'd been training them all along about servanthood. But they weren't getting it at this point. But Jesus knew eventually they would get it. And so he asked questions. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism I will be baptized with, or to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they say, yes. And my guess is, I'm not sure they fully understood the implication of the question that Jesus was asking. He's basically saying, are you willing to die like I'm going to die? Are you willing to be all in like I'm all in? And the reality is, being God and being man, he could see in the future. And he knew that one day, those guys would be true servant leaders. And he knew that one day they would give their life for their faith. In fact, James would be the first of the disciples to be martyred and killed. John would be the last. He would be banished out of Patmos, and there he would die, ultimately banished there for his faith. And so he could see what's going to happen. But still, he's trying to teach them in the process. But meanwhile, the other 10 get wind of what is going on here. And it says in Mark 10:41, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John." And so they hear, okay, James and John are asking for the left and right hand of Jesus. And so what's their response? Wait a second. We want that. We want the pain. We want the fame. We want the power. We want the glory. We want the status. To be honest with you, they're being like most human beings. And now Jesus is going to respond. And how he's going to respond is in a very calm way. It goes on in Mark 10:42. "And Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them.'" Jesus is laying out the framework of worldly leadership. Have you ever noticed that no governmental system is perfect? And why is that? Because people are not perfect. They're sinful. And Jesus said, you know what? So often in the world, what you're going to see is people want power. They want authority. They want status. They want to be in control. But not so when it comes to my way of leadership. I want to teach you all a different way. I want to teach you what it looks like. And he goes on, "But shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here's Jesus with all power, all authority. The one who could speak creation into being with the power of his word. He's saying this, you know what? Even though I have all power and all authority, I am going to be the ultimate servant. It's not about power and authority. It's about serving others. It's about putting others even before yourself. And he says, that you must become a slave of all. And the Greek word there for a slave is the word doulos. A doulos is somebody who was a slave and their master sets them free. And then in their freedom, they give themselves back to their master saying, I give myself back to you for the rest of my life to do whatever you want me to do. I'm doing it voluntarily. That word has such great implication. The point is this, Jesus sets us free, right? And now in our freedom, what do? We give ourselves back to Jesus saying, I'm all yours. I'm all in for you. I want to do what you want me to do. That's what that means. He goes on to say this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why are we here today? We've been served. Jesus gave his life on a cross for us, the one of all power and authority. He gave his life that we can find forgiveness. He gave his life to set us free. And we have a choice now in this freedom. We can go along with the ways of this world, or we can go in the direction of God's word. And if we go in the direction of God's word, it's about servant leadership. In the Bible, you see so much repetition. You read the same thing sometimes over and over again. You may wonder, why so much repetition? Because it takes a long time for us to get things right. It takes a long time sometimes for us to change. And what Jesus is showing us is what is true leadership? It's being a servant. It's serving others. Serving others that we may struggle with. Serving others that may have a different belief system than we do. A different political leaning than we have. Jesus came to serve every single person on this planet. And he calls upon us to do the same. To be servants of all people, regardless of who they are. And how do we do that? Think, I'm one person. How can I possibly make a difference? Maybe let it start with your family, with those closest to you. Try to outdo others in acts of kindness and service. You know, so often we kind of look at things with checks and balances that we want to get more than we put out. We want to receive more than we give. That's not the way it is in Jesus' kingdom. It's about trying to give even more than what you get, to try to outgive even one another. And no one can outgive Jesus. He gave everything. But we see that example. Serve in our families. Serve those closest to you. Maybe find ways to serve in your community. Maybe God's putting something on your heart. Even during this time of COVID, there's a lot of people struggling. I was talking with a person at worship last night at Holy Cross. And, you know, she was, you know, went to fill up her gas tank, and the gal pumping the gas next to her started talking to her and started laying out some pretty heavy stuff. And so after they got done filling their gas tanks up, she says, go over and talk. And they went to the side of the station, and they talked for a long time. And she listened to this lady just pour out her heart. Then invited her to worship. And she said she's going to be coming either this week or next week. I'm not there today, so I'm not sure if she came today or not. But that's an example of leadership. Or maybe something in the community. I know a guy that he likes to hike. And the trails he hikes, sometimes dogs leave special offerings along the trail. And so he takes upon himself to bring bags and pick that up. And sometimes people ask him, why are you doing that? Well, I do it to serve you and to serve God. Sounds like a strange way to serve, but you know, sometimes the smallest things that keep adding up to become bigger things. You know, one thing I've learned too, like my car in the frame for my license plate, it says, God loves you and God we trust. And so one thing I try to do is make sure I drive decently, because if I'm really driving bad, it's not a very good example. And every once in a while, too, when I go through a drive-through restaurant, I'll find out about the people behind me, what they ordered. If it's not like, you know, $70, every once in a while, you know, I'll pay for theirs. And sometimes it's happened to me, too, where people pay for mine. Simple acts of kindness so often, they will add up. or in your church, our church at St. Mark or Holy Cross. I know a lot of you are doing amazing things. Maybe God's putting something on your heart, a small way to serve, and as these small things come together, great things happen. I mean, look what Jesus did with his disciples. You know, Judas betrayed him, but the other 11, they went out and changed the whole then known world because Jesus took them with this, you know, low control, high accountability model, and he led them to become servant leaders like him, and they changed the world. And the point is this, we can too. One action at a time, one step at a time. I saw an article recently that 1/3 of Christians in our society right now are struggling with depression and severe anxiety. That means maybe 1/3 of you right now are in that category. I just want you to know we're here to serve you. Or even for those watching online, we're here to serve you. And at the same time, you know, I got to be honest with you. I grew up in a family that struggled with depression, and sometimes there's genetic links to that. And I've had times in the past where I've struggled. This is what I learned. When you're struggling yourself, the best thing to do is keep serving. Keep putting one step and foot in front of the other and just keep on serving. And when we serve, it just makes us feel better. It's who God made us to be. And every one of us has a calling from God. I believe God has a calling on your life. And my question is, are we listening to it? Are we following it? This world is hurting. This world is struggling. And what this world needs is love. What this world needs is Jesus. And the way that we model him is becoming more like him, to keep learning about his leadership style, to be leaders that serve. And something we can all do, to be servant leaders. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us what leadership looks like. You have all power, authority, and might. You gave your life on a cross for our sins. There's no greater love than for one to lay down their life. We cannot outserve you, but we can serve better, Lord. Help us to grow in our lives of service, knowing through you we're forgiven, the way to heaven is open, we're going to live forever. But Lord, as we make this journey, help us to represent you well, even better, by growing in our lives of being servant leaders. We pray this in your name. Amen.